This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, Maroon 5 with What Lovers Do, featuring SZA.
SZA.
S-Z-A, yeah. Do you know what I thought of 2 days ago was Scissorp? Do you remember Scissorp?
Oh, Scissorp, yes.
Purple drank Scissorp. Scissorp, yep. Was the stuff that Justin Bieber and like Lil Wayne and some other rappers used to drink. Scissorp was cough mixture with like a cream soda or something, and then some Jägermeister or some other kind of strong liquor, vodka or whatever you could find. And then they'd shake it all up and you'd drink the Scissorp. And it was really, really bad. Like, knock you the hell out.
Yeah, because cough mixture can do that. It kind of puts you on a bit of a buzz, man. It's got alcohol in it itself.
Scissorp.
Gangster, yo.
All right. First thing I want to just refer to as we get into the Friday morning. I know it's a politics-free Friday, but this is just really interesting. So, apparently Zimbabwean white farmers are to be paid back for lost land. If you're a white Zimbabwean farmer, apparently they're going to be paying compensation this year to thousands of white farmers. Now, isn't this a turnaround for the books? You know,
yeah, that is, sure.
It just irritates me no end that there are parties in South Africa like the EFF who say, no, you know what, this expropriation without compensation thing is a great idea. The ANC backed that too. And then you look north to Zimbabwe, which is always an example of how not to do things. Mm-hmm. And now Zimbabwe themselves are admitting, we've fucked this up royally. And all these white farmers who were chased off their land, the land was given to veterans, farms that were hugely productive became unproductive, the breadbasket of Africa turned into the outstretched hand begging for food. And now Zimbabwe's come around. So I want to know, I expect a statement from all the people who thought that chasing farmers off their land, white farmers off their land in Zimbabwe was a good idea. I'd like to have a clarifying statement from all of you, please, on what you think of this, that Emmerson Mnangagwa and the Zimbabwean administration, ZANU-PF, have decided it's time to pay compensation to these white farmers to try and lure them back to farm again. It just is so absolutely incredibly stupid that Zimbabwe has ended up in this situation. And can we please learn from it so we don't end up being the same stupid, idiotic, racist country?
Yeah, because also, how many years did it take Zimbabwe to get to this point?
And how many people have perished? How many businesses have died? How many farms have gone out of business? How many people have fled? There are Zimbabweans all over the world who are doing things, producing goods, adding value to the economy in countries that are not Zimbabwe, when Zimbabwe could desperately do with them. Because why would anyone stay? You know, this goes back to what Cyril said yesterday, and I'm not going to make a big fuss of this because it's not our thing to do politics on a Friday, but Cyril saying he loves white people so much he'd love to chain them to a tree to keep them here. You're like, what a thing to say. Clearly you mean exactly the opposite when you talk like that. What you really mean is you hate them. And the only way you can, it's almost people who abduct children or hold people hostage.
Yeah.
That's how he's talking. It's like, we need you, but I don't know how to say that because I don't really love you, so I'm just going to chain you to a tree. What a thing to say.
Just sounds desperate. I mean,
if a man said that to a woman, she would run for the hills.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Anyway, so that's the only little bit of politics we had to throw in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry to do this, but we do have to look at it.
What?
The 2018-19 State of Urban Safety in South Africa report.
What?
So, it's the crime report, which is released every year in South Africa.
The crime. Okay, let's hear the crime.
The city where you are most likely to be killed in South Africa is...
Cape Town?
Yes, Cape Town.
Yeah.
Crime has increased in Cape Town by between 60% and 70%. If you look at differing news articles, some say 60, some say 70.
Okay. Increased by or increased to?
By. So something's really going on.
In 1 year, crime increased by 60%.
Yep, the murder rate in Cape Town has spiked by 60%. Sorry, not 1 year. That's since 2009 and 2010.
Okay.
And by 13%, which is still unacceptable, in the last year. 69 reported murders per 100,000 Capetonians in the last period. That's four times more than the city with the lowest murder rate, Tshwane.
Okay, I'm moving. I'll bear the traffic.
Second highest, Nelson Mandela Bay, with 54 murders per 100,000. Johannesburg recorded 31 per 100,000 during the same period.
Yeah.
High crime levels in cities, largely linked to, obviously, the prevalence of guns, drugs, and alcohol.
Okay.
Things that are completely avoidable.
Totally. This is very, very sad. I think that's such sad stuff.
I would have never pegged PE before Johannesburg.
But I'm really glad that Joburg's not at the top.
Yeah.
Because you know why?
Why?
Policing?
Because I live here.
Oh.
Which is the safest? Do they tell you?
No. I would need to look at another article.
The R is really safe.
It's out of the 9 metros.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what? Joburg, Cape Town, Durban, Pretoria, Bloemfontein, PE, East London, Polokwane. We need one more. What could it be? What could it be now? Probably Maritzburg. Nelspruit. Maybe Nelspruit.
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. No, Maritzburg's not a real city. Come on.
But it has them. Isn't it the provincial
capital?
Yeah, it does.
All right, Josh. All right, fine. Make it 10.
And on that note, firstly, looking at all of the protest action, but sort of violent protest action that's going on. Just this morning, some trucks were set alight again on one of the main routes. But Opikopi 2019 has been halted due to rampant crime.
Wow.
So that's the music festival, which has been postponed to next year because of the recent trend of rampant crime at festivals and events in the country. The organizers are working to redesign the festival to make it more secure for 2020.
Sure.
They're losing out on money.
Hugely. I mean, it's one of the biggest multiple day festivals held in the country. Mm. More than 20,000 people usually camp at the venue. The venue, just to remind you, is in Limpopo. It's near Northam.
It's very big. That they've cancelled it.
Yeah, absolutely. Shit. Started in 1994. This would have been the 25th edition of the festival.
I wonder how Gord feels about that. He used to be a big fan.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Loved going.
He got high there.
Yeah, he told the stories.
On stage there.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
All right, so there we go. That's quite scary.
Yeah. So, not looking good at the moment. moving abroad, Buckingham Palace has just issued a very rare statement about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's baby.
I saw the statement yesterday and I'm confused with what it exactly means.
Let's just read the statement.
Is it a racist statement?
No, definitely
filled with
not.
Ebonics.
It says,
Yo, we here in the palace, we all let you know that our new great-grandchild, he gonna be king one day. Or if it's a she be king, queen too.
She be queen and y'all.
Everybody's a king and queen. We was kings.
Nah, mean.
Oh, there we go.
It says, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, very grateful for the goodwill they've received from people throughout the United Kingdom and around the world as they prepare to welcome their baby. Their Royal Highnesses have taken a personal decision to keep the plans around the arrival of their baby private.
Oh.
The Duke and Duchess look forward to sharing the exciting news with everyone once they've had an opportunity to celebrate privately as a new family. So I wonder, maybe it means there's not going to be that royal exit from the hospital that we're used to seeing from Will and Kate.
Well, you see, Will and Kate are more important.
This is true.
Will and Kate are much more, they're higher up the food chain. Like, William and Kate have produced the next generation of, you know, monarch.
Mm.
Harry's the spare, and this kid that he has with Meghan is really not important.
Although Meghan has upped Harry's rankings, I think.
Well,
yes,
maybe
but
in
I
the
hear
public
what Gareth
view,
is saying.
But they're a PR spectacle. They're like a sideshow.
Yeah.
William and Kate are the real story. You know, and who knows... Do you know who Richard, Duke of Gloucester, is?
Oh,
Do you? Have you ever seen him?
Only you do.
No.
Yeah, nobody cares. Now, once, when the Queen's father was on the throne, Richard, Duke of Gloucester's father, was an important man. He's the Queen's cousin.
Right.
Now, nobody... He could walk into a room, probably 80% of the people wouldn't know who the hell he was. So don't worry about it. One day, Prince Harry's children would just be, you know, you'll go past them at the pub down the road.
Right. Well, there's something to look forward to in terms of the royal family, and that's the fact that Trump will be visiting there soon.
Oh, fantastic. Great. This is going to be
Can you imagine how reluctant the Queen was writing that invitation?
No, I don't think so. I think she's...
You don't think so?
No, she doesn't get involved. She's had worse people than that. She's had some really dreadful people come and visit her at Buckingham Palace. Trump is not even the worst. I'm telling you. She's bulletproof, that woman. She doesn't care what your politics are. And she probably thinks he's a bit of an oaf.
Yeah.
But she'll never, ever say anything, and she'll never let you know.
I wonder what embarrassing things he would say.
I wonder what embarrassing things the Queen's already seen that she doesn't talk about.
Oh,
you know, what if,
gosh.
What if, like,
a lifetime of...
What if Jacob Zuma, when he was there on his state visit, what if he left a big log in the, in the toilet in Windsor Castle and it couldn't flush down?
Oh, no, please don't.
And one of the maids went to her and said, "Your Majesty, we've got a big log in this bathroom that Jacob Zuma..."
It's a huge turd.
I mean, she probably knows stuff like that, and she would never tell anyone. It's hilarious.
Oh,
all right, so Donald Trump's going to the UK. How exciting.
Yeah, the invitation has been extended. I don't know when it'll be accepted.
I got some criticism of you here. Leanne, how can you say that they don't tell you the safest metro in the article, but they do tell you the one with the lowest murder rate? Surely that's your answer. So Tshwane is the safest.
Oh, sorry, Pretoria. Yes, you're right.
Pretoria is the safest. That's good, because that's where
I'm glad someone... It's very early, you know.
Yeah, Leanne's not good
just
at this.
Look at the time. It's 7:15 in
all
the morning.
All of this maths. What's wrong with you, dude? All right.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Ashley Judd. We haven't seen much of her, hey?
Well, no, because she was... She was in she's a country... No, she's a movie actress.
Yeah, so. She's an actress. I used to always confuse her and Angelina Jolie.
But doesn't she have a sister, Winona, who is a country singer?
I'm not sure.
I think she does.
She's 50 years old now.
Wow. Ashley Judd looks pretty damn good for that.
Yeah, she does. She's come out of the woodwork. She was actually part of the whole Me Too movement.
Oh, God. All right. So yeah. She's an overreactor.
Yeah. So the latest thing is that she's come out protesting a new bill in Georgia that would ban abortion as soon as the heartbeat can be heard. And the reason why she's come out against this is because she, years ago, had an abortion after being raped. Mm-hmm. And she has said, "My decision to protest this bill is based on the fact that I would have had to have co-parented with my rapist."
Yeah, this
pretty
is very
hard-hitting stuff.
It's a very emotional statement. I don't think that that you can really... You have to take these things with a pinch of salt. When people have been through an experience that has traumatized them, they're not always the most objective to people to make decisions about policy.
Yeah.
Because...
It's like really on the far end.
Yeah, it's like if someone's just been robbed, you shouldn't ask them whether they are in a good mood.
Yeah.
Or if someone has gone through a really traumatic experience, the death of a parent or the death of a child or something, and then you ask them to please sit down and write an exam, you're not going to get the best work out of them. And I think even though this happened to her so many years ago, Ashley Judd's a bit of an activist. She's one of these very militant women's rights people.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's necessary, we need those fringe elements who are always pushing things in a direction of progress. I think in very many ways they actually become a little regressive, because what they're doing is saying, "My story, me, listen to me, and don't worry about other people and their opinions." There's a huge lobby in America of women and men who think that abortion is the killing of children beyond a certain age. Maybe it's when the heartbeat kicks in, maybe it's after 2 weeks, maybe it's after 6 months. You know, they're different opinions. I don't know. I'm not a parent. I'm not a mother. None of my business.
Aren't you?
I mean, it's not...
You're not a mother.
And I would never tell a woman what to do with her body, by the way.
Yeah.
So I used to be one of these people who's very very much in favor of abortion. I was like, the earth is full, and if people want to get rid of kids. But that's a terrible anti-humanitarian position to occupy. And I can't, in good conscience, be pro-abortion, not just pro-choice, and also be a humanitarian.
Yeah.
Like, I can't complain about how, you know, innocent people get put to death on death row, for example, when they're innocent and they get accused of a crime and then they're found later on to have been completely without blame. That, to me, is wrong. I think things like genocide are wrong. I think things like the Holocaust are wrong. It would seem to me that it would be just as wrong to be in favor of the killing of viable human fetuses. I'm having a little moral dilemma with this, and I don't think Ashley Judd's helping with her. Like, I'd have to co-parent with my rapist comment. I think that's very, very hardcore.
Yeah.
Especially for a Friday morning, Ashley Judd.
Yes.
Really, time it better next time.
Do it on a Wednesday, honestly. Well, Ariana Grande has also come out with quite a hard-hitting, I think it was an Instagram pic. Yeah, it was.
But she's so small.
Coffee person.
She's so small. You could put her in your coffee cup.
Yeah.
What does she say?
So you remember, she has always spoken quite candidly about her experience coping with post-traumatic stress that followed the Manchester bombing at her concert in 2017. She's always said, you know, therapy saved my life. And she's always admitted that she never stops thinking about the event.
Why do people feel they have to share all this with the rest of us? Like, when did it become necessary, not just fashionable, but necessary for everyone to share their, like, I go to therapy for this, or I've got a problem with my anus, or why is it so? Why do we need to share everything these days?
It's the whole Me Too thing, really.
Who opened up the floodgates on everyone having to share their problems with everyone else? Most of us don't care, really. Honestly, Ariana, I mean, I know you went through a tough time. Ashley Judd, I know you went through a tough time. I'm in South Africa. What can I do? Fuck all. Why do I need to know? I don't.
Well, Ariana,
you think it's good, Sia?
Yeah. When you look at the stigma associated with certain things, fine, if you woke up this morning and you found a new mole somewhere on your body, we don't need to know that.
It's so much better than Hollywood being pictured as the perfect people.
Oh, so you like it when they reveal themselves to be normal, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I like the honesty that's going around. Well, she Instagrammed a photo of three brain scans. One of a healthy brain, which showed very few areas outlined, and the scan particularly was picking up the areas of the brain that are affected when you have PTSD. Mm-hmm. She sent her own brain scan image, which she's just had as well, which had almost double the areas as the PTSD sample illuminated. I don't understand what she wrote, though.
I don't think she understood it either.
She says, hilarious and terrifying, not a joke.
Well, then why is it hilarious, you stupid woman?
I don't understand
She's so stupid that she just wanted a picture for her Instagram. That's what she wanted. She doesn't understand any of that. They probably sat there explaining it to her for like half an hour, and she went, oh, okay.
I didn't know.
I have the picture for Instagram, huh?
No, she doesn't sound like Dino. No, doesn't sound like that either.
I have a picture for Instagram. Because she's so little.
No, she doesn't sound like a Muppet either. No.
I thought she did. Is that not how Ariana Grande sounds?
She made her sound like a Latino Muppet.
Look at my brain scan. Why are we taking this?
Interesting.
Why are we taking this person seriously? Oh, hold on. I need to ask you two something, because you both said something. You seem to be on the same side of this argument.
Yeah.
So Hollywood reveal themselves to be normal. You know, these stars like Ariana Grande, showing how normal they are, or how they've got problems. But who wants to know? I preferred when Hollywood people looked better than us. I preferred when they looked like they were always pure and good, and they did all everything right, and they always dressed immaculately and had perfect hair and perfect teeth and perfect bodies,
and everything was unattainable about them.
I like that, not because I ever compare myself with these people, because that's where you two are making the mistake. Why compare yourself to them? They live these bizarre, extraordinary lives where they appear on TV and they're on movies and have makeup artists and hair people and an entourage and a publicist and an agent and a manager. I think they've got to be different. I don't want them to be like us, and I certainly don't want to hear about their pustules or their brain scans or what happened to them when they were children that was unsavory. I don't want to know that stuff. I don't want to get that close to you. Do you understand? I want to admire you as a beautiful movie actress or a great singer. I want to look at you from afar and go, you know what? We can aim for better as humans. And that's an example of a singer mm-hmm. who's just beautiful and she sings magnificently and she dresses just perfectly for every occasion. Let's have something to strive. Keep bringing people down and having to know about whether they have armpit hairs or whether that fucking ulcer in their stomachs exploded or not. I don't need to know that about. I look at Ariana Grande. She's this beautiful.
You want perfection.
She's this beautiful woman. She sings. I don't need to know her deep-seated person. What is it? Post-traumatic stress disorder?
Mm-hmm.
What for? Be perfect and beautiful and sing. Half the reason people come to your shows is because they just want to see a beautiful girl sing.
No, it's changed.
They don't come to see you take a shit because you got personal post-traumatic,
PTSD.
Right. Don't know. Why must I know that about you?
No, things have changed.
Why?
What do you say, Leanne?
People are actually even more cultish and have bigger cult followings because of what they reveal. You look at Billie Eilish, who's the latest sensation. She's 17. And is she 17? 17 or 19? Can't remember. Anyway, she's very open about her depression, etc. She's got this huge following of young girls who are going through the same thing.
Great.
Well, then, unfortunately, it's the way times are going, Gareth. It's the way things are happening at the moment.
Please, if you ever feel the need to share that shit with me, don't. Because I'm going to tell you now categorically, not just me, mm-hmm. but most people on earth don't care unless it affects them, and then it's about them. Not about you. So by sharing all this stuff, and she's, by the way, obsessed with Ariana Grande. So that's like you've gone in full circle here.
What, this Billie Eilish?
Yes, she's totally obsessed with Ariana Grande.
She also, her first crush ever was Justin Bieber. Oh, it's actually quite
so
sweet.
She's got major problems. Her depression is the least of them. So here's this. Just sing. You know what? Like I meet with people. You know what I meet with them for? We might have business together.
Mm-hmm.
We might have a relationship together. We might be friends. We might be family. We might be...
Okay, with friends and family, what's the basis
I don't of need to know,
building your relationship
I
with
don't
them?
Need to know that you are going through a bad breakup unless it's important for the purposes of a funny conversation.
But what's the basis of it?
What do you mean?
What are some of the fundamental things a relationship is based on?
We have good experiences. No, we have good experiences. We spend time together. We laugh. We have shared memories.
Mm-hmm.
We have mutual friends. We are able to get along. Personalities work together.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yes, you share things, and sometimes it's about trust. But I don't need to get deep down and dirty about your mental health issues.
Well, for me, I don't want to get too philosophical, but I'm not looking at it through the Hollywood and facade of Hollywood prism. I'm looking at it through the prism of just all being human. No one really knows what we're doing as human beings. We're just trying to make it through the day. And I think having pretenses.
But you can't know everybody. You don't know Ariana Grande.
I don't have to
Billie
know all
Eilish.
Of that, but I think just being honest.
It's too much information.
Aids us all.
The only time Beyonce needs to enter my life is when she's singing a song. If Beyonce is going through menstrual cramps, it's none of my business. Do
but
you understand?
It's not the case when you have people who didn't even know Michael Jackson and are defending him as if they knew him.
But those people are fucking crazy. You see?
Well, this is the large chunk of people in society.
Why don't you find meaning in your own life? If you're genuinely more interested in dead Michael Jackson than you are in your own life, you have to go for help.
Okay, this is why
someone
you dart people in crowds.
I would dart them from a balcony with a fucking dart gun and put them down.
Okay, I didn't mean that.
This is a problem. Okay, if you really need to have your celebrities or your idols or your role models or the people you admire tell you about this level of personal detail, there's a problem with you. There's a problem with them with sharing, but there's a problem with you with needing that information. These
I still
are not,
don't understand.
You don't know these people.
No, but why is sharing a bad thing?
Why do you need to?
Not the need to.
Why does someone need to say that they're going through, here's my brain scan. Why would anyone else care about your brain scan?
It's not about caring, but why is it an issue for you that they share?
Because they're supposed to be singing.
So they're just one-dimensional people?
Yes, because I don't know her and I never will, so she must just fucking sing.
But they're human beings.
No.
Multifaceted.
No. Not everyone on earth needs to be your best friend. What is this? Why are people so needy that they want to share everything and they want to be shared with everything? Just let me tell you something. You can't have... There's a thing called Dunbar's number. Okay? Go and do some research.
All right.
Dunbar's number says the total number of people you can have meaningful relationships with at any given time is like 120. That's the maximum. Now, I don't know how well you two know Ariana Grande or Billie Eilish or whoever else you want to bring into this. But if they're not in that 120 of the people you can have a meaningful relationship with, it's unnecessary to fill your head with all this pointless information about them and for them to expect you to care. When Ariana Grande puts out a brain scan, she's crying for attention. That's what she wants this attention. And if you give it to her, you are the kind of person who's a big empty hole in you that you feel you need to connect to someone you've never met before.
I hear that, but I think you're painting everyone in the same brush.
Yeah. For instance, I really don't give two shits about the brain scan.
Okay.
It won't move you to go and buy an Ariana Grande single.
No, but so much so that I don't care that she's doing that and I don't care that people are lapping it up.
But?
There's no but. I don't, you know, it's the same as you've always said, Gareth, why are people so upset about gay sex when it's none of their business? It's not happening to them.
Right.
So just accept this then. There is this thing going on, but you're not part of it.
So it's come up now in the news. And
it
drives me crazy that we all now need to consider everyone else as our very best friend that we need to share. Like, what happened to a little bit of privacy?
See,
certainly if you're going through depression, you tell the trusted, close people around you. I heard an interview with Chelsea Handler, who's a complete crackpot.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was talking to Bill Maher, who I think is also sometimes a bit crazy, but he's mostly sensible. And she was telling everybody how she's going through this and she's in therapy and it was all because she was outraged about Donald Trump and... These are such non-problems. They are such non-issues.
It's a problem to her.
I know, but why should the rest of us have to hear about it?
Okay, let's flip the script. Why shouldn't we?
Because it does nothing and it adds zero value to
you.
Life, to anyone's.
It
to
does
know
to
the
some
state
people.
Of health of Chelsea Handler is of zero benefits here on any scale to all of us.
There are people who will say, watching that interview, changed my life.
Then your life was fucked from the start.
No.
I'm sorry.
If Chelsea Handler
admitting she was depressed and had to go and seek therapy to get over her Donald Trump outrage, if that helps you or changes your life is such a disaster that you should go walking over the nearest cliff and make sure that it's really high up.
I would, even a different example, if a politician were to share like this, I would even swing my vote. If I were to find out that Julius Malema's mother had cancer and Julius was actually there every single night holding her hand while she went through chemotherapy, I would consider disregarding some of the things Julius has done, because that would tell me more than what he actually says. That would say he's caring. That would say he's affectionate. That would say he's just human.
Yeah.
But he's,
so it might not mean something
not
to you,
your
but
friend.
It might. And it's not about, I'm not saying I want to hang out with him and share a cup of tea, but I'm saying it says something about him and we learn something else.
Okay, so what does Ariana's brain scan say about her?
Let's use a different case because I'm not connected
Let's
Ariana
say,
in that way.
Let's say your favorite person in the world, Oprah Winfrey. Mm-hmm. when Oprah shares the story of how she was fingered by her uncle.
Can you use a different word?
That's what happened.
Yeah, she was sexually assaulted. Whatever. Fingered.
You know, what I mean. You know what I mean. She was it's a disgusting story, but that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use euphemisms. Yeah, right. She wouldn't have. So when she admits that, what does it tell you about her that's important to you?
When she then speaks about what is happening in society, how can we solve the world? We are all bruised and victimized. Well, not victimized, but we've all been through things.
Not like her. I haven't been sexually molested like her by her uncle.
Yeah, but when she speaks about we're all going through things, let's deal with things, I go, yeah, I know, because you can relate. I've been through shit, you've been through shit. It's not the exact same thing, but we've all been through shit. If that doesn't make enough of a point for you, let's make it very personal, the relationship you and I have. We work together, yes, but if you were to say, you know what, I really have this vision for this company, I feel it very emotionally, this is what I'd like to do, this is the impact I'd like to make. As an employee, that would make me buy into the company more.
Yeah, but that's because that's a work relationship.
But it's a relationship nonetheless.
So the Oprah thing sounds a bit general to me, and I know we've got a guest, and I don't want to carry on about this all
this
morning.
It's very philosophical.
But someone just sent me a message to say, this is really spicy, so people are obviously enjoying it. But
spicy.
Okay. Just the other day, Gareth, you were ranting over why DJ Fresh didn't share the details of his missing in action. Yeah, but that's because he put it out there. Like, I wouldn't ask. You know what I mean? Like, when you share, you're going to have to share. That's what these celebrities are doing.
Mm.
I'm saying it would be nice if people kept some things private, because not everything needs to be shared. That's not such an outrageous
point.
I'm
sure they are keeping a lot private.
But I hate to be jumping around with all of these points, but Chelsea Handler's actually, she has a new book out. It's called Life Will Be the Death of Me. And she brings up this idea of how much she was shaken by Trump's election and her brother passing away, because the bottom line for her saying, let's
sweat the small stuff.
And let's actually all pay attention to what's going on within ourselves.
Yeah, but she's just had an internal revelation, and she should
keep
that to herself.
Which she's hoping would help other people.
It's not going to. This woman cried for 4 days after Donald Trump was elected. That is an unstable person. Her coming back to stability is uninteresting to those of us who are not unstable. That's my point.
So let's use your terms.
And if you're unstable and you find that Chelsea's story is meaningful, you've got way more problems than Chelsea.
It further proves to you that person, in your words, is unstable.
Yes.
But will it help the unstable person? Yes or no? It will.
A stranger saying this is going to help an unstable person?
Yes.
You don't have anyone in your life who can... Then you're screwed.
If you don't have anyone in your life, Chelsea Handler might actually be your answer.
Chelsea Handler doesn't care about you. She doesn't know your name.
She does by writing that book.
No, she doesn't.
By going through that process, she says, somehow I hope that it will be able to positively impact someone's life.
No.
And so
she's trying to sell books.
I think that there are some people who are so lost and actually a danger to society because they're so lost or just not contributing
at
all.
Let's use Gareth's words, unstable.
Yeah. That if they're going to take solace or accept advice or identify with something from a star, then so be it. Thank you to that star for actually giving them something worth something in their lives.
So why do you share?
No. I think Leanne's won this argument. I think.
Oh yay!
Let's give it to
her.
Oh, she won it. All right, Leanne, you win.
Thank you. But it wasn't about a right or wrong.
No, it isn't. But I think this is interesting. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. We can carry on the discussion maybe in another day or two. Let's get Hellboy in here. That's who I want to see. There's a dude outside who's dressed exactly like, he's got the makeup on, he's got the sawn off horns that Hellboy has, he's got the hand. Dude, love that. Get in here. Come in here, we want to talk to you. His name is Norik. He is a cosplay artist. And you've seen these cosplay people, right?
Yeah. I see. I think where I was introduced to it most was on The Big Bang Theory, where you see them going to these conventions and dressing up, etc.
Like Comic-Con in America is this huge cosplay thing. People dress up like characters from Game of Thrones and Star Wars and TV shows, the DC comics.
And often they're in character as well.
Yes, it is. Yeah, they don't come out of character. So we'll find out what got Norik into this and what that world is all about. And then George Meany will join us a little later on for the Auto Central Power Pod. Loads of stuff to get to.
Very nice.
Yes, indeed. So if you've ever seen people all decked out in fictional character costumes at gatherings or events, maybe you've noticed them popping up here in South Africa too. Did you ever think to yourself, what is going on here? Well, it's not a weird and wacky, like, crazy sect. It's called cosplay, and it's what people do when they are massive fans of some of these shows. They love the characters. They dress up as the characters. They go to a huge amount of trouble for this. And we've got Norik in here. Hey, Norik, how are you doing, dude?
I'm good, yourself?
Nice to see you. This is an awesome outfit that you got on, and the makeup's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
So why Hellboy?
Oh, Hellboy. I've always loved Hellboy. I mean, Hellboy was actually one of the first comics that I've actually read.
So you started off as a big comic book fan?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, from the minute I could pick up a comic to read, I've been reading comics.
So were you reading them before the movies came out?
Yeah.
Awesome. And what did you think of the movies? Because a lot of comic purists will say, oh, it's not as good as the comics. I think they did a pretty good job.
I mean, no, I'm not going to lie. They did do a pretty good job. I mean, I wasn't like, in the beginning, I was watching it. I was watching very, 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 very carefully.
Like, yeah.
Okay. And I was like, this is actually, he's actually really good. Dave Harbour's actually doing a really good
job. Yeah, I liked the movies. Yeah. I mean, I didn't ever read the comics, but I watched the movies and then I enjoyed them. So you dress up like this. How often do you get to do the Hellboy thing? You've got the sawn off horns, you've got the big, what do they call the glove?
The right hand of doom.
The right hand of doom.
Not the glove, Gareth.
No, but it's...
The right hand of doom.
Right, the right hand of doom. Have you done any besides the red makeup that you're wearing all over? You've even got it in your other arm.
On my other hand, that was fun to do.
You have to go all out, right? You can't do a half-assed costume here. You can't
I
just
always believe
do...
if you're going to do something, do it right. And so, this is doing it right.
So where did you get the right hand of doom? Did you have to make that yourself?
Yeah, I actually made this myself.
Oh, wow.
What's it made of?
It's made of craft foam, and essentially I just built it off a glove.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's so amazing. and just so I can have full range of movement of fingers.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Sure. This yeah, because it looks like your fingers aren't going to be able to move, because it almost looks like carved wood. And yeah, then they do move.
That's what I was going for.
So we had a makeup artist in here the other day, Lara, she's 17 years old and she does special effects makeup. And I'm looking at you now and thinking, this is a very particular craft, and it's a skill, and people who do it have to be passionate about it, and particularly with cosplay. You know, a lot of people would say it's ridiculous and it's stupid and it's unnecessary and it's a waste of time, but if you're really passionate about this stuff, it gives you meaning. You're part of a community, right?
That's it.
And there are people who thoroughly enjoy this. It gives them a break from normal life. They get to live this different existence for a little while.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's essentially stepping out of your own skin into somebody's shoes. But in some cases, it's stepping out of your shoes and actually becoming your real self.
But it can be, I mean, some people take it all the way where they would, you know, they'd remove an eye. And
cosmetic surgery.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd have cosmetic surgery. They'd maybe do something about their... They'd get a permanent face tattoo or whatever it
horns.
Might be. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I've come across stories where guys have actually clipped their ears so they can have elf ears.
Yes.
Yes, correct. So, I mean, it can be taken to, like, crazy extremes, right?
It can.
What kind of a cosplay community do we have in South Africa?
I mean, it hasn't. It only gotten big about 5 years ago. 5 years ago, people were just going to conventions and dressing up, and people have been doing we're doing that for about 4 years, and then just started branching out, and more people every day. You're seeing the community is getting bigger. I mean. For me,
what are the major events? I mean, like, where can we go if you want to take part in this stuff, or if you want to see the people in their cosplay outfits?
Okay, now on the the 19th, which is the 19th coming up this weekend,
Easter Friday.
Yeah, it's actually yeah, I know it's actually coming up. Is Icon?
Okay, what's Icon?
Icon is essentially comic books. Comic books, action figures, cosplay.
Did we have one last year?
Yes, we did. It's been going now for the past, if I'm right, I think about 12 years now.
How many people came last year?
Right, I think it was about 18,000 people.
Wow, that's a lot of people. Yeah. Were you the only Hellboy?
No, I wasn't actually Hellboy last year.
Oh.
Last year.
Were there other Hellboys last year?
Oh yeah, there were.
Any good, or do you think you could probably look more the part?
What I've seen, like the young talent in the cosplay community, like I've seen people the first time they cosplay,
yeah,
and it's like, dude, you look like you've been cosplaying for about 10 years.
So, okay, you say you talk about it like it's cosplaying. Mm. What do you do when you're at the convention? Like, you're all like dressed up.
Mm.
What do? You just walk around, look at each other?
No, you walk around. You essentially get stopped. You get stopped for pictures a lot.
Yeah, sure.
That's one of the main things. It's also opportunities for you to grow. I've experienced going to conventions in costume, being approached by companies asking, "Listen, we've got an event up.
Would it even lead to employment?
Yeah. Would you actually dress up for this event, or even like a whole weekend?
And do you have people like acting out scenes from movies? And
actually, yeah. I actually have a friend of mine. The first time I did Hellboy, he was doing a character called Prince Nuada from the second Hellboy movie. Okay. And we saw each other, and it was like he was doing Nuada, I was doing Hellboy.
So you knew the lines from the movie.
Doing a whole back and forth thing was actually really fun.
That could be cool. I think it sounds like it's a bit wacky, but it is cool. So what about you? You said you didn't dress up as Hellboy last year. Mm-hmm. So what did you go as last year?
Last year I was... I actually did Thor from Thor Ragnarok.
Wow.
But I had done it before the movie actually came out, so I was basically taking my references from movie posters and like the trailers and stuff.
Wow.
As well.
Okay. What's your favorite thing besides Hellboy to do?
My favorite costume I've done was Thorin Oakenshield from The Hobbit.
Right, he's the dwarf.
The king under the Lonely Mountain.
So you have a wide variety of influences here. It's not like you're only into the comics.
Yeah,
you're into the Lord of the Rings, Star Wars
books.
Oh no, I love Star Wars. Star Wars. I love Star Wars.
Great, then we're brothers. What about the newer stuff? There's a lot of Game of Thrones interest, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Do people come in those outfits?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
which franchise is the most popular at South African cosplay events?
Well, I mean, in South Africa at the moment is, I would say, like whatever new coming out would be
so you
would
reckon
replace the old one.
At the moment, yeah. It's probably going to be Game of Thrones.
It's probably going to... Actually, it is.
Any
it is
really attractive women as the Khaleesi these events? I mean, come on, right? There's got to be some Khaleesi. Right? Khaleesi.
Yeah, yeah. Mother of dragons. Oh, mother of dragons.
Yeah, damn right. Mother of...
Can you dress up as Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah, George.
Why not?
My wife will love you.
All right, so if you had to go, Sia, Leanne, George, if you had to go and it was compulsory, and you could ask for some pointers, Norik might be able to help you, but who do you think you'd have to go to? If you were invited to a big cosplay event, costume essential, go on. What would you dress as?
And remember, you guys aren't restricted to if you guys want to be girls, guys, black, white,
right.
Blue, orange, green.
Because people don't care, right? You leave your real identity at home.
People don't care.
You dress up and you can be anything you want to be.
Anything you want to be.
Beautiful. I would probably be Hermione from Harry Potter.
With much bigger tits.
Yes. And a very bushy, disheveled hairdo.
I don't know where that's going.
Yeah, you could do Hermione. All right. Little schoolgirl outfit with a wand.
If I had to be something, you know, more animated and a character, it would be Thor because of his blonde hair and the
Thor.
Muscles.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But more realistic, I'd also suspend disbelief. I'd also like to be Pamela Anderson's character from Baywatch.
Why not?
Does that count? Could it count as cosplay?
It counts.
Fabulous.
Are there any people in the cosplay community who would judge Sia for going as Pamela Anderson? Because it's not really a character.
No, not us.
Okay, you guys are very open-minded. I like that. Yeah. That's very respectable. George, who would you dress up as?
What is that guy's name with the red and black outfit? Second movie
Deadpool.
Just came out.
Deadpool.
Yes, I dressed up as him at our December staff function. I went and hired a costume, and it was a little bit too skin tight. Luckily, it wasn't public.
But Deadpool is skin tight.
Yeah. Yes, I know. It was a problem.
And he's pervy. All right, so just tell me quickly, Norik, where do you begin to enter this community and buy the stuff you need to dress up? I mean, it's a real dedication. You're going to spend a lot of money. You're covered in this red makeup now. Your jacket's even covered in it. You're going to have that cleaned off somewhere.
that's
you're going to take all this off when you get home now. Your normal job, you're a different guy. You probably no one even knows that you do cosplay.
This is technically my job.
It is?
Yeah, I actually make costumes and props for a living.
Lovely. So people can come to you if they need to do all of this stuff. So where would you go? Are there other shops? Are there individuals who sell these things?
We have in like our cosplay community, we do have certain people who do certain things. Like I do props. There's somebody else that does props as well. There's a few people who do sewing commissions. Then we have like our suppliers. We have a few places where we go and we get our craft foam. Then we've got a company like Siggy's Makeup. That's where I actually got my makeup from.
Okay.
Yeah, they're actually based in Cape Town, and they were amazing, and they got my makeup to me in record time, and it was perfect, and nothing broken.
That's amazing.
which I was so happy for, because I had ever had.
How long did it take you to get into Hellboy?
Took me about 2 hours.
Wow.
Jeez.
Just to make sure I've got all the paint and everything.
Dedication.
Right.
you've got to be seriously passionate about this.
You have to be passionate. And the one thing we always say that us cosplayers, we thrive on procrastination.
So in other words, you'll mess around until the last minute.
We'll mess around until the last minute, and then we'll panic.
What do you think the most outrageous outfits you've seen at cosplay events have been?
Ooh,
and would you love to go to the Comic-Con in New York, for example?
Oh, if I went to Comic-Con in New York, if I stepped at the entrance of Comic-Con of New York and died right there,
you'd shit yourself.
I'd die happy. Yeah,
you'd be the happiest guy ever.
I'd die happy.
That's your big dream. And it might happen.
Yeah.
Sure, it'll happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen one day.
If you go to New York, what will your outfit be? Who will you dress up as there? Hellboy?
No.
You do a pretty good Hellboy. No? Who would you go as?
Not Hellboy. It's actually something that I would, something hopefully that I can pack, that I can fit into a suitcase.
No, let's not be practical. Anything you want.
Oh, let's not be practical. It's a demon from a movie, from a video game called Darksiders. It's this Samael. He's the king of demons. 7 feet, has like a 5-meter wingspan.
And wingspan?
Yeah, a tail, horns.
Jesus, it's
everything.
All right. Seems like you like this demon stuff.
Uh-huh. I do, actually.
Good for you. Nothing wrong. I'd like to see you walk into a cathedral on Sunday. See how that goes down. That's
funny,
what I like.
Funny story. The first time I ever did Hellboy, we drove past this woman in a car, and she was and she had like the cross hanging from the rearview mirror and everything, and the stickers, you know, Jesus loves you stickers and everything. We stopped next to her. The look on this woman's face when she turned and she saw me, because I didn't have the small horns on. I had my big horns on and everything. So I'm low, trying not to get the top of the car, and I'm looking over and I'm like, and the look, oh my God, the look of this woman. I was like, okay, fine. I'm sorry. I think I just freaked someone out today.
She prayed for you a long, long ass time. All right. Well, this is brilliant, and thank you for coming to spend some time with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Norik Iser, he is the cosplay artist who's this morning. He's Hellboy. But thanks for telling us a little bit about the world of cosplay. It sounds like fun. I think, George, we've got to make a plan.
I think so. We should all come dressed up.
Do a dress up, somebody. Yeah.
You know,
believe
me, it's fun.
People love it.
I'm keen for
it. They love it.
No, they do. The
Sia, you would love to do a proper dress up.
When the kids see you in a character that you love, that they love. I mean, the first time I ever cosplayed, I did Thor.
Yeah.
And I was just walking, and I had like these three kids like running and jumping and screaming in front of me, and like,
yeah, must have been thrilled.
I was like, oh, okay, so I made someone happy today.
Yeah, that's right, and good for you. All right, dude, thank you so much.
What a pleasure to see you. Thank you.
There we go. And if you want to find out more, we'll put some of Norik's details up on the website as well, so that you can, if you need to get your own like prosthetics made for your own cosplay outfit. I mean, people got some good ideas. Let's see them come through. Take some photos for us and send them when you're there on Friday next week.
We'll do.
Cool. All right. It's time to check in with George. How are you, George?
All right. And you, Gareth?
Good. He's not in his Daredevil outfit. No, what is it?
Deadpool
outfit. Oh, thanks. He's going to give me a gift with his Hellboy hand.
Very good.
There's a massive clunk there.
Is this my own hand of doom?
Oh.
What is this? Oh, wow. It's like a bottle of hot sauce in a skull.
Ooh.
No freaking awesome. Way.
That's a very Hellboy present.
Very
thanks,
cool.
Bro. Thank you, man. Wow. All right, so George is not in his Deadpool outfit, but he's going to tell us a little bit about the world of motoring and the lifestyle associated with motoring. What do we got today?
Well, do you know who the only, first and only woman Formula One racer was from South Africa?
Leanne Moll.
Maybe, maybe not. Her name is Desiree Wilson.
I don't remember Desiree.
Well, she's a little bit before our time. She was born in 1953, and she's the first and only woman to ever win in Formula One race.
Wow.
The reason I bring that up is because I met another lady who's an up-and-coming racing driver in South Africa called Tasman Pepper.
The other night at the Coty Gala event.
And Tasman Pepper is off to Germany this week with she's the first woman from Africa to race in the W Series on May the 4th in Hockenheim.
Very good. Great.
Yeah, so a woman up and coming in South Africa, a racing driver. Hopefully she gets to Formula 2 and then Formula 1.
She's got a name that's destined for fame.
Tasman Pepper.
Mm. Tasman Pepper, I like that. All right, yeah, cool.
And it's a real name. So, often people have these names that they make up.
She drives like a demon?
Yeah, apparently so. She's beating the guys.
Good.
So all good right. for her. Cool. And then Alstom Nissan chief, Carlos... I don't even know how to say his surname. Ghosn, Ghosn, has fired back at Nissan's board for claiming conspiracy and backstabbing because he was fired and charged with false disclosures in Nissan's corporate financial statements, and then also charged with omitting tens of millions of dollars of income in public filings. And now he's come back and said that there's politics at the board, and that he's not as guilty as what they make out because it's been taken out of context.
So it sounds like shenanigans.
Shenanigans, and he says he still loves his country, Japan, but there's things going on in Nissan that he knows about.
Uh oh.
Yeah, watch this space. I think the Japanese politics are coming out. And then Volvo cars from 2020 are going to impose 180 kilometer per hour speed limit on all their cars.
It's not a bad idea.
No.
And also, if you're buying a Volvo, you won't care.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
No one in a Volvo has ever gone, shit, this thing needs to go at 200. Ever. No Volvo driver ever said that.
Well, they are known as the safest brand.
Car. Right. That's been their marketing ploy for many years. Mm. They claim to be the safest car on the road. And their drive is to, by 2020, not have anybody die in a Volvo. That's their drive.
That's a... big claim.
Big claim. Big ball. Big vision.
Yeah, but you see, they can't do that because it's going to be some human error thing.
Yeah.
That's going to cause it. It's not going to be the car.
Well, maybe self-driving cars are around at that point and,
We can only hope.
By
next year.
But what do you think of this? I mean, there's nothing wrong with a car having a minimum speed limit.
No. I mean, if you think about the, a couple of tons of metal going at 200 kilometers an hour, it should be on a racetrack. So limiting a car's speed limit, 180 is even too fast, I think.
Listen, if you were going at 180 and you... hit some kind of obstacle, or there's something in the road that you didn't see, or there's a piece of tire or whatever, it could be really, really bad.
Very.
You hit it at the wrong angle or something. There's a lot of Newtonian physics at play here that could send you spinning and careening out of control into a barrier, off the road, down a ditch. It's not worth it. And 180 is fast.
It's freaking fast. I mean, if you think about it, human maximum sprinting speed is what?
About 14
16 k's an hour. If you what's that dude's name?
Usain Bolt.
Yeah, Usain Bolt. And you're doing 10 times that speed inside a tin can. No, thanks. I like speed, yeah, but we're not
on the road. Our bodies are not built for it. Okay, now hang on. The fastest a human has ever run is 45 kilometers an hour.
Oh, geez.
45.
Usain Bolt ran it, 45 kilometers an hour.
Well, that, I mean, 15 is probably you and I.
I think I'm less. I can do like 10. Yeah.
I'm less.
All right.
So Volvo's, I think, doing something good for safety. And then Mercedes-Benz, not Mercedes-Benz, but there's a company by the name of Incus. And yes. Incus is known for bulletproofing or creating safer cars that that can withstand bullets and
I heard
stuff.
Didn't you have a boyfriend called Incus at high school?
Yeah, called him Inky.
Oh,
Inky.
Inky was very good.
He's the bulletproof cars.
So look how well he's done.
Yeah. Exactly.
So why would they do this?
They do it for the rich and famous who think they have a hit on them, I suppose.
If you're Serbian.
So what they've done is they've gone one step further. They've made the G-Wagon. You know the G-Wagon.
Yeah.
Which is a very popular car among celebrities. They've made the G-Wagon not only bulletproof, but now grenade and bomb-proof.
Well, you know.
Sure.
The killer's out there. You always got to protect yourself, George. I'm all for this.
And believe it or not, this G-Wagon doesn't look like a military vehicle.
No, it looks like a normal G-Wagon. It probably weighs a ton. Because when you bulletproof these cars, you're using thick steel. You're using Kevlar. You're using all kinds of materials that will deflect fire and bombs. And I mean, it weighs a lot more than a normal car.
Exactly. But you can get the G63, which is then, really powerful and probably can handle that weight.
If you open the door of one of these cars, I have before, the door itself, just to open it, is heavy.
It's heavy. Oh. It's like a tank.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, it's solid, thick.
Oh, that's why the Queen doesn't open her own car doors.
Absolutely.
That's the reason.
She couldn't. She tried. Yes. Yeah, she couldn't.
I think there's somebody else who thinks they're the Queen on The Bachelor called Jacqueline.
Ooh. Oh, you've been watching it, George.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Throwing shade.
Welcome to the clan.
So, are you still watching?
I watched half of it last night, and then I was like, no, stuff this. I need to watch Billions, so I'm going to carry on watching it later today.
My God. Billions is out, the new series.
Yes.
Oh,
so
shit. Okay, bye-bye The Bachelor.
Yeah. Oh. So it aired on Wednesday night at about 11 o'clock at night. I wasn't going to watch it then, so I watched it on catch-up last night.
Okay, well, at least you watched it. You're keeping up. I'm not. I've fallen off the wagon. I'm sorry.
I haven't been watching TV since Billions and Game of Thrones .
Oh, goodness. Well, come Sunday.
Exactly.
I'm going to be glued again.
I'm going to be glued.
Would you buy one of these bulletproof cars?
No.
Did you see that Serbian dude being taken out?
No.
In Bryanston
this week.
Mm. In a complex. Security complex.
Yeah, but he must have done something.
No, of course.
They've been after him for a while.
Yeah, he must have done something.
He spent years in hospital recovering from a previous attack.
Oh, my goodness.
He almost like lost his jaw. So he was just plastered and put together, only just,
and then
killed. Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Anyway, just stay away from drugs and crime, kids.
Crom.
And then very lastly, Aston Martin's bosses say that this luxury vehicle may get cheaper in the coming months.
Good.
If the UK has a no deal but stays in this Brexit deal.
What?
So if the UK doesn't exit and become part of the EU, the pound might plummet. The pound might get weaker.
So if they do exit,
if they don't become part of Europe, but it's what but the people want.
So in other words, if they stay in Europe,
yes.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, Aston Martin, but that's really beyond all of us. And Theresa May can't even make up her mind what to do here. None of the people in Parliament can. Sorry.
So Aston Martins may become cheaper in the future.
But if they became cheaper, no one would want them.
Well, I mean, they're getting better. They used to. There was a period where the Aston Martin had really bad gearboxes.
Really?
Yeah, and they would break. And they're nice cars, but I think, in my opinion, they're not a real sports car.
I remember my aunt phoned her daughter, my cousin, the once, to say, you'll never believe where I am. She said, where, Mom? And my aunt said, I am the passenger, and we're driving at the moment, in an Aston Martin. Ashton. And my cousin said, Mom, that's very nice, but what you need to do now is turn to the gentleman and apologize for calling it an Aston Martin.
Or give his whiskey back.
Yeah.
All right, that's terrific. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't take one for free.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no, hey?
But, you know.
That's not my favorite car on the planet. It's a nice looking car.
I don't think Aston Martin's going to change the tune, turn the tide on Britain leaving the EU. That's going to happen, whether Aston Martin like it or not.
So tell me something. Did Jack? I'm going to watch it later, but did she stay? Did she stay?
Yes, she stayed. Oh.
Damn.
Who's your favorite, George?
I love that George is really into this. This is great.
The makeup artist, Gina.
Do you also think Gina will win?
I watched half of it last night, and I suppose he kisses them willy-nilly.
No, he's kissing everyone.
Yes, exactly.
No, he kisses them on the lips, George.
I had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
and they're willing.
It's not that type of show.
And then last question. Do you think they'll actually end up together after the show? Do you think there'll be an engagement?
No. I think, honestly, I think a lot of them, including him, are into the fame.
I didn't know that was going. I'll keep quiet now.
All right. Controversial statement from George to end our Friday morning. Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you to you for joining us today. And if you want to know a whole lot more, you can find it all on the website. Thanks to our guest who popped by, Hellboy. Pretty cool. What did you think of that outfit?
I had to Google Hellboy.
Oh, sorry about that.
So I'm the wrong person to ask.
Are you going to watch the movie tonight?
Hellboy?
Yes.
Definitely hell not. No. Yeah, hell to the no.
It's really good.
No, not my thing, him.
Oh, come on.
Admirable.
And a couple of people have sent pictures of their own cosplay stuff. All right, you want to hear from the German ambassador?
Ooh, yes.
Because that's who we've got next. Ambassador Martin Schäfer, who is the German ambassador to South Africa. He's a great guy. I met him not so long ago at an event, and we decided we'd get him in here and talk to him. He's up next.
This is CliffCentral.com.